भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 20th एंटाइटल्ड प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस टेक्स्ट 10। रिपीट बिहाइंड मी। स्वधर्मस्थो यजन यज्ञ अनाशिहि काम उद्धव नयाति स्वर्ग नरको यद्यन्यन्न समाचरेत्। स्वधर्मस्थो यजन यज्ञ अनाशिहि काम उद्धव नयाति स्वर्ग नरको यद्यन्यन्न समाचरेत्। स्वधर्म इन वंस प्रिस्क्राइब ड्यूटीज स्तः सिचुएटेड यजन वर्शिपिंग यज्ञ है बाय प्रिस्क्राइब सैक्रिफाइसेस अनाशिहि कामः नॉट डिजायरिंग फ्रूटिव रिजल्ट्स। उद्धव माय डियर उद्धव न डज नॉट याति गो स्वर्ग टू हेवन नरको और टू हेल यदि इफ अन्यत समथिंग अदर देन हिज प्रिस्क्राइब ड्यूटी न डज नॉट समाचरित परफॉर्म। Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: My dear Uddhava, a person who is situated in his prescribed duty, properly worshipping by Vedic sacrifice, but not desiring the fruitive result of such worship, will not go to heavenly planets. Similarly, by not performing forbidden activities, he will not go to hell. Purport. The perfection of Karma Yoga is described here. One who does not desire fruitive rewards for his religious activities does not waste time going to the heavenly planets for celestial sense gratification. Similarly, one who does not neglect his prescribed duty or perform forbidden activities will not be bothered by going to hell for punishment. Thus avoiding material rewards and punishments, such a desireless person can be promoted to the platform of pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Om Jnanat Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shah He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Anvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadhikmur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, I would like to welcome all the devotees this Sunday morning. Also seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees to be able to say something meaningful. Srila Sukhdev Goswami says, that there are thousands of subject matters to be heard. So, I was just asking one group of students that how many videos are there on YouTube? Right? So many subjects to be heard, seen, shared. He said, we can't really count. Before we count, they will increase. Right? Just like the glories of the Lord are ever increasing. You cannot count. You cannot count the number of videos there on the YouTube. Right, number of likes on the Facebook, so many things. So, thousand, million, billions of subject matters to be heard. But, very few people, very fortunate people want to hear about Krishna. So, Kaviraj Goswami says, Jaya Shrota Gana Suna Kari Ekaman. He glorifies all those who want to hear about Lord Chaitanya by saying Jaya Shrota Gan. All those who are reading this book, who are hearing the pastime of the Lord, all glories. Jaya Shrota Gan. Then he says, Shun Kari Ek Man. Now please hear with one pointed attention. So I request everyone to put their cell phone on the silent mode. Shun Kari Ek Man. That we can hear. Absorb for our mind for some time in hearing the glories of the Lord. So, this particular verse, Lord Krishna is speaking and he is saying that a devotee is not concerned about going to heaven. Now, a devotee may also perform sometime ordinary activities. Like the example is given that so many great kings, King Ambarish, he performed so many sacrifices. And of course in the sacrifices, there are oblations offered to the devatas, they come partake of their share. There are unlimited number of rituals to be performed. So there's like activities of karmakand, worship of the devata and so on, which in the scriptures they promise that one will ascend to heaven, higher planets. But Lord Krishna is saying that when a devotee performs these activities, he doesn't want to go to heaven. That is not his purpose. He performs these activities with not having faith in them, not having the faith that this is the highest, but having the faith that devotional service is the highest. So therefore, when a person performs activities, prescribed duties, or some other rituals, some worship of the devatas, as could be in the family tradition, but he has faith in that pure devotional service, therefore that person doesn't get the result of performing those activities. He doesn't go to heaven. Although those activities, they promise heavenly rewards. So King Ambarish, he performed so many sacrifices, but it's described that he just did externally. His main faith was in devotional service. So therefore, the devotees of the Lord, they are not averse to performing their prescribed duties or some sacrifices or rituals that may be needed, or customary sometime in some rituals or some functions, there is some worship of the devatas. So devotees are not averse to performing these external ordinary activities, but their purpose is extraordinary. They don't want to just go to heaven, or they are not performing so that they may avoid hell. So neither is the purpose of the devotees of the Lord. So we will discuss today on this subject matter how a devotee of the Lord, he may engage in ordinary worldly activities, but his purpose is never ordinary. The devotee's purpose is always extraordinary. So there is a story of Srila Sanatan Goswami meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is a whole story of how he escapes the imprisonment of the king. And he is travelling towards Vrindavan, but he finds out that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Varanasi. At that time Sanatan Goswami also happens to be in Varanasi. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has already visited Vrindavan and is returning to Jagannath Puri. He first meets Rupa Goswami at Prayag, instructs him for 10 days at the Dashwamedh Ghat. From Prayag, the Lord comes to Varanasi. And then Sanatan Goswami meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Varanasi. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would stay at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, and he would take his alms at the house of Tapan Mishra. Both the times while going and coming, when he stayed in Varanasi, that was his protocol. So when Sanatan Goswami arrived and he understood that Lord is staying at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, he just came and sat outside the house. And Lord Chaitanya, being the omniscient Lord, he told Chandrasekhar, "Go, there is a Vaishnav sitting outside. Go and call him." द्वारे एक वैष्णव है बोला तुहारे चंद्रशेखर देखे वैष्णव नाही द्वारे. So Lord said, there is a devotee sitting outside your home. Will you call him here? Chandrasekhar Acharya went and he said, no, there is no Vaishnava sitting here. So now Chandrasekhar Acharya, according to him, Vaishnava means one who is having some dhoti kurta, tilak, kanthi mala, at least kanthi mala and a bead bag in hand. So if you see in Mayapur, there is a gate, Panch Tattva extension gate. It is written entry only for devotees. Right? And they have only these two checks. They will see whether a person is wearing tilak, kanthi and having a bead bag in hand. And they say, oh, you here, like they divide accordingly. Right? this entry for devotees. So in this way, Chandrasekhar Acharya, he sees that no tilak, no kanti, no bead bag in hand, so no Vaishnava at the gate. Right? So he comes to Lord Chaitanya and says, "My Lord, no, there is no devotee sitting outside." Lord says, "Anyone sitting outside?" "Yes, there is one Muslim mendicant." Lord said, "Call him here." So then Chandrasekhar goes and he says, "Oh, Darvesh, oh you Muslim mendicant, come inside, the Lord is calling you." And when Sanatan Goswami hears, he hears that the Lord is calling me, he becomes very happy at heart. And as soon as he comes inside, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rushes to embrace Sanatan Goswami, much to the astonishment of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And the Lord, he came forward, he embraced Sanatan, whose, you know, all the clothes were shabby, dirty, long beard, long hair. But the Lord rushed actually with great eagerness to embrace him. And when he embraced him, the Lord became overwhelmed with great ecstasy. And Sanatana Goswami also was overwhelmed to embrace the Lord. Duijane galagali rodana apar. They were embracing each other. Dekhi Chandrasekhar Rahila Chamatkar. Now Chandrasekhar Acharya is unable to fathom. Lord has never embraced me like this. Right? Here is a Muslim mendicant. And the Lord is embracing him like never seen. And the tears are coming. Okay? So therefore, Sanatana Goswami, he is looking very ordinary mendicant. But only the Lord can understand the extraordinary devotion within his heart. So Lord is crying while embracing Sanatana Goswami, and Chandrasekhar Acharya is surprised. And then the Lord took Sanatana Goswami, he made him sit close to him, and the Lord started touching his bodily limbs, right, caressing him, just like when the child may sometime, child while playing falls, right, and he gets up, the mother just touches all the limbs to see everything is all right. So the Lord is just touching all the limbs of Sanatana Goswami, you know, out of great affection. And Sanatana Goswami says, "My Lord, please don't touch me. I am very impure. Right? I am very sinful." And anyway, externally also, he was very, you know, shabby, dirty looking. But what does the Lord says? Prabhu kahe to masparshi atma pavitrite bhakti bale paratumi brahmanda shodite. Lord says, "I am touching you so that I may be purified." That is the Lord's disposition. That's Lord's thinking. So therefore, sometimes we describe that how Bhagavad Gita is what Krishna speaks. Srimad Bhagavatam is what Krishna does. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is what Krishna thinks. Okay? So many of the Lord's thought process, his internal feelings are brought about in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he is touching his own devotee, caressing him, and when Sanatana Goswami says, "Please don't touch me," the Lord says, "I am touching you so that I may be purified." At another place, similarly, when he embraces Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur says a similar thing. "My Lord, don't touch me. I am very low. I am very fallen." The Lord says, "I am touching you for my purification, for your purified activities do not exist in me." Tumara pavitra dharma nahik amate. Your purified activities do not exist in me. Therefore, I am touching you so that I may be purified. Okay? So therefore, the Lord is very magnanimous. His thinking, the way he thinks, the way he deals, is actually very striking. Another beautiful verse about the Lord, magnanimity, his quality, said, "Ishvara sabhava bhaktir nalaye aprad." The Lord is so magnanimous that he easily forgives a big mistake. Ishvara Sabha, what is the Lord's nature? Bhaktera Nalaye Aparad. He doesn't consider a great offense to be great at all, right? Rather, he considers a great offense to be insignificant. Alpa Seva Bahu Mane Atma Parayan Prasad. And he considers small service to be big. A big mistake to be small, or not even small, negligent. He doesn't consider a big offense also seriously, but takes a small service as very big. And in reward gives himself to his devotees. Atma Paryant Prasad. So such are the magnanimous or great qualities of the Lord. Alpa Seva Bahu Mane. In this world, small mistake is magnified, big service is easily neglected, right? Kind of. So in this way, the material world, we often see the opposite. But the Lord's nature is very different. Small service is considered big. Alpa Seva Bahu Mane. And give himself in reward to his devotees. So in this way, Lord is extremely generous, magnanimous, affectionate toward his devotees. So therefore he is embracing Sanatana Goswami, touching him and saying that I want to be purified by touching you. And then the Lord recites some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam to substantiate this point. Bhavad Vida Bhagavat Bhagavad-vidā bhāgavatās-tīrtha-bhūtāha-svayam-prabho tīrthi-kurvanti-tīrthāni-svantahastena-gadābhita. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. So Lord is saying, you are a holy place personified. You are moving holy place, moving tīrtha, to purify all the living entities. And in this way, many other verses the Lord recites from Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he says, not just that, in fact, to see a devotee, to touch a devotee, to sing the glories of a devotee, is the perfection of all one's senses. Toma dekhi toma sparshi gai tomar gun Sarva Indriya Phalai Shastra Nirupan. Just like to see the beautiful form of the Lord, to glorify Him, to sing His qualities, or to touch the form of the Lord, beauty form of the Lord, is the perfection of the senses. The same thing applies to the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He quotes a scriptural verse. We often find that whatever is proposed, it is substantiated by a proper scriptural verse. So these are verses from Hari Bhakti Shudodaya. Hari Bhakti Shudodaya is a book which is a compilation from Puranas. Right? So all the various important verses which glorify the devotional service, the Supreme Lord and the devotee, those all verses have been compiled in this book. And it has often been referred by the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavacharyas. So this book describes the verse Akshano phalam twadrisha darshanam hi tano phalam twadrisha gatra sanga jiva phalam twadrisha kirtanam hi sudurlaba bhagavata hi loke. The perfection of one's eyes, akshano phalam twadrisha darshanam hi. The perfection of the eyes is to see the form of a devotee. Tano phalam twadrisha gatra sanga. The perfection of touch is to touch the bodies of the devotees. Sometimes when it is too crowded, we feel too inconvenience. Right? We want little space, you know. But we can think of this verse, a little positive, and say, okay, the perfection of touch is to touch the forms of the devotees. Right? So I am automatically getting some perfection without desiring sometimes. Jiva phalam twadrisha kirtanam hi. The perfection of the tongue is to glorify the devotees. सुदुर्लभा भागवता ही लोके. How rare is a devotee, how rare is a pure devotee of the Lord. Sudurlava bhagavata hi loke. So in this way, the Lord glorifies Sanatana Goswami, saying that devotees like you, although looking very ordinary, right? Sanatana Goswami, just he was looking like an ordinary person, ordinary mendicant. Chandrasekhar Acharya did not even consider him devotee. He was so ordinary looking. But what is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying? Sudurlabha bhagavata hi loke. It is very extraordinary to see such a person like you, to touch, to see, to glorify. And the Lord, he tells Sanatana Goswami that Krishna has been extremely merciful to you. He has delivered you from a materialistic condition of a life. But Sanatana Goswami, he says that, my Lord, I do not know Krishna, I only know that your mercy has delivered me. And then Tapan Mishra, he invites both Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami for prasad. First he serves Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya insists that Sanatana Goswami takes with him, but Sanatana says, no, I will take later. Of course, he wanted to have remnants. And then after that, Chandrasekhar Acharya is also there, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tells Chandrasekhar Acharya that go take Sanatana Goswami and have him clean shaven and give him some clothes to wear, you know, proper. So Chandrasekhar then made Sanatana Goswami look like a gentleman. The word used is Bhadra Karaya. So he took him to take bath in the Ganges, have him clean shaven and so on, and then also brought a new set of clothes for him. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the word Bhadra Karaya are significant in this verse. Due to his long hair, mustache and beard, Sanatana Goswami looked like a darvesh or hippie. So Prabhupada is relating that he was looking like a hippie. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like Sanatana Goswami's hippie features, he immediately asked Chandrasekhar to get him shaved clean. If anyone with a long hair or a beard wants to join this Krishna consciousness movement and live with us, he must similarly shave himself clean. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair objectionable. So, this is from the purport. So now, Sanatana Goswami is now clean shaven, and Tapan Mishra or Chandrasekhar Acharya, he brings him a new set of clothes. Sai vastra sanatana kaila angikar shuniya prabhura mane ananda apar. So Sanatana Goswami, he did not accept the new clothes. And it is mentioned that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely happy. Ananda apar. I was just wondering that how could this give so much happiness to the Lord? Here is Chandrasekhar Acharya offering him just a new set of dhoti kurta. That's it. And Sanatana Goswami refuses to accept. Instead, he asks for old set of clothes. And this brings great happiness to the Lord. I was just thinking, what is there in this transaction, in this activity, that is bringing so much happiness to the Lord? Right? It doesn't seem anything like pure devotional service. Right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. I went through all the 9 activities. None is fitting over here directly. So what is bringing, what brings treasure to the Lord is pure devotional service. So here in Sanatana Goswami, just refusing a set of new clothes, and rather asking for a set of old clothes, brings great happiness to the Lord. Okay? So therefore, it is just simply an ordinary thing. So this is what we are discussing today, that a devotee's ordinary activities, when performed with extraordinary motive, right? Their extraordinary purpose, it brings great pleasure to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami, he wants to live like a simple mendicant. And he wants to renounce everything. But what is the purpose of that renunciation?
Tyaktva turna mashesha mandalapati shenim sadatu chavad bhutva dina ganesha ko karunaya ko pina kantha shrito gopi bhavar samrata abdalahari kallol magno muhu vande rupa sanatana yagu yugo shri jiva gopalako.
So Srila Srinivasacharya has glorified this renunciation of the Goswamis by saying Tyaktva turnam shesha mandalapati. And Prabhupada was giving a talk on ashesha mandalapati. Mandalpati means he is the leader of the whole community. But ashesha mandalpati, they were the leaders of not one or two communities. They were really the big shots, right, in the modern terms. Big leaders, ashesha mandalpati. They were really very aristocrat. They were not just the leader of one aristocratic group or two. They were the leader of ashesha mandalpati. Very really, among many, many great aristocratic groups, they were like the topmost, the leaders. Tektva turnam ashesha mandalpati, shrenim sada tuchavad. They gave up everything, renounced everything. For bhutva din ganesha ko karunaya, in order to extend the compassion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to one and all. So therefore, now Sanatana Goswami, he refuses this new set of clothes and just want to take an old set of clothes and live like a mendicant, but with the purpose of extending the compassion, showing the compassion to all the living entities. So that is what brought so much pleasure to the Supreme Lord. Just not the act of refusing. Refusing the new clothes and accepting the old clothes. It is the purpose with which that is done. So seemingly ordinary activity, but has a great extraordinary purpose behind. That brings great pleasure to the Supreme Lord. Similarly, there is a in the incident of Raghunath Das Goswami. Now Raghunath Das Goswami, he wants to just give up everything and join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is trying again and again, but unable to succeed in his attempt. So he meets the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Shantipur. And at Shantipur, Lord Chaitanya instructs him, Sthirahaya ghare yaha naho vatul krame krame paye lok bhav sindhu kul. So Lord says, calm down. Do not act like a crazy person. Gradually, by and by, you will be able to cross the ocean of nescience. And then the Lord tells him, Antare nishtha bahya kar loka vahavar achire krishna tumhaye karibe udhar. Antare nishtha, what you should do is cultivate attachment to the Lord within the heart. But externally behave like ordinary person. So now in this particular word, the Lord says, Antare nishtha bahya kar loka vahavar. You be like an ordinary worldly person, but not with a worldly purpose. So you behave like an ordinary person, but within the heart, cultivate firm attachment to Krishna. Right? So that's very extraordinary. And Prabhupada says, this is the art of living in this material world. Art of living in this material world means that a devotee is just behaving like other, right? He is just an ordinary person, like any other person, but with extraordinary purpose, with extraordinary motivation. That is to serve Krishna, cultivate devotional service. Antare nishtha bahya kar lok vahavar. And Prabhupada says, following the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami became a first class business manager. Even the Economics Times or Business World, they would go and interview him. Sir, what is your opinion? he became a first class business manager, and his both uncle and father, they had full confidence. Now he's, you know, paka businessman, and he improved, you know, raised the profits or whatever kind of, took his father, and they were in a trouble, financial trouble, right? The company was about to go bankrupt. There was an intrigue by another Muslim Chaudhary, so there could be a bankruptcy, but Raghunath immediately rectified the whole situation, right, and improved the business like anything. So that was Raghunath Das Goswami. And Prabhupada says, and he comments, that for 1 year he tended to all the business perfectly and became a first class business manager. So again, like an ordinary person dealing in the business world and so many things, but his motivation or his purpose was always extraordinary. Antare Nishtha, cultivating devotional service to Krishna. So, now when Sanatana Goswami, coming back to the story of Sanatana Goswami. So now when Sanatana Goswami was traveling after he was released from the prison, he was on the way at one place known as Hajipur. His brother-in-law happened to be there, and he saw it was a cold season and Sanatana Goswami was traveling. He wanted him to stay, nourish himself. Sanatana Goswami said, I won't stay for a moment. I am on the way to Vrindavan. And he somehow wanted to render some service. And thus he convinced him to take a woolen blanket. Hare Krishna. Everyone able to hear? Huh? Okay. So he convinced him to take a woolen blanket. Now this woolen blanket was very costly. It's mentioned that it costed at that point of time 3 gold coins, which was substantial, maybe 30,000 rupees, right? Some merino, pashmina wool, very costly woolen shawl or something. So he gifted him, at least, you know, it's very cold, have this. So now Sanatana Goswami is wearing this, you know, very high class woolen blanket on his body, and he is doing Madhukari. Right? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he looks towards his woolen like this blanket. Said, or Sanatana Goswami just proposes. Actually, one of the Brahmanas in Varanasi, a Maharashtrian Brahman is mentioned, he was staying in Varanasi. And he invited Sanatana Goswami that you please come and take alms daily at my place. Sanatana Goswami says, no, why should I come to your place daily? I will do Madhukari. I will take little from every household, I will beg around. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks towards his shawl. Right? Here is a person wearing, you know, very costly, very posh, whatever looking shawl. And you will do Madhukari? So kind of the Lord looks towards him. And Sanatana Goswami understood, he understands that point of time, that the Lord is not approving this woolen shawl blanket. And Sanatana Goswami, he goes near the Ganga where there was a washerman. And he was wearing a torn quilt. And Sanatana Goswami tells, my dear brother, will you please give this torn quilt and accept this blanket? He says, I am such an ordinary person, do you think you can play jokes with me? You know, just because I am an ordinary person, does that give rights to you to just play jokes? Right? And that too in the morning. He says, no jokes. I really want, you know, you to take this blanket and give me your torn quilt. Really take it now. Like somehow, you know, he was in a... Before he could even, you know, take a decision, Sanatana Goswami just hands over and takes his quilt and then comes back. And when he comes back, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asks him, where is your blanket? You give it for dry clean or what? So Sanatana Goswami says, no, I have exchanged it for this torn quilt. right? And Lord Chaitanya again becomes very happy. He says, Teen mudra rabota gaye madhu kari grass, dharma hani hai lok kare upahas. So you will wear such a costly shawl and do madhukari, it will just make fun of you. Dharma hani hai loke kare upahas. People will just cut jokes upon you. And then the Lord, again, it brought great pleasure to the Lord that he just, you know, got a torn quilt now. So, you see that in all this series of activities, it's just like Sanatan Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami, they are following the social etiquette, right? An ordinary rule and regulation, right? A beggar is not supposed to wear such costly garments. If he goes to beg, people will think, who is beggar, right, over here? So, therefore, when a devotee, he follows or he maintains the proper etiquette, proper social etiquette, follow one's prescribed duties with the purpose of serving the Lord, devotional service, that brings great happiness to the Lord. So the Lord greatly approves of the activities of Sanatan Goswami. Not just that, the Lord, while Sanatan Goswami was in Jagannath Puri, later he went to Jagannath Puri. When he was in Jagannath Puri, the Lord one day called him to a place known as Yameshwar Tota. And it is said that it was Lord called him for the afternoon lunch prasad. And Sanatan Goswami, he became very happy that today the Lord has called me for lunch. And by the time he reaches, it said the Lord had already taken his lunch and he was resting. So Sanatan Goswami, he reaches and he honors some remnants. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets up, Sanatan Goswami is there in front of him. And it's mentioned that as soon as Lord sees Sanatan Goswami, the very first question he asks is, Sanatan, which road did you come by? Now imagine, someone you invite for prasad or something, right? And person is reaching late and the Lord was resting, now he has got up. The first question should be, did you had your prasad? Right? That was the purpose. But the Lord, as soon as he gets up, the first question he asks is, which road did you come by? And Sanatan Goswami says, I come by the sea beach road. Sea beach road in the afternoon? 45 degree. How could you even walk on the sea beach road? The sand must be very hot. Your feet must be blistered. And Sanatan says, no, my Lord, not so much. I didn't feel the pain. I didn't feel much pain. So, but why didn't you come by the other road? So Sanatan says, my body is, you know, there were some itching sores on his body. And Sanatan Goswami anyway considered him to be outcast because he served the, you know, the malechas. So therefore Sanatan Goswami, he says, I don't have the adhikar to come by the other road on which the servants of Jagannath are passing by. But that was like a cold road. Right? For buildings all around, it was not a very hot road. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears that, right, he becomes very happy. And he says, यद्यपि तुमी हो जगत पावन तुमा स्पर्शे पवित्र है देव मुनि गण. He says, Sanatan, you can purify the whole world. By your touch, the great sages and the devatas can be purified. So the Lord is telling, you are impure. Come on. The great devatas and the sages will be purified by your touch. Tathapi bhakta sobhav maryada rakshan maryada palana hai sadura bhushan. He says, still a devotee maintains proper social etiquette, and that is his great ornament. Now just see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he firmly believes that Sanatana Goswami is supremely pure. He can purify the whole world. But when Sanatana Goswami comes by sea beach road and not by the other internal road, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approves of that also. Now, if Lord Chaitanya has to say, you are so pure, you can purify the whole world, that means you can come by that road. Anyone who touch will be purified. He says, no, you are supremely pure. But he is greatly happy that Sanatana Goswami came by the sea beach road, which had a hot sand, blistering sand. Because Lord says, you have observed the proper social etiquette. So, and the Lord says, Maryada langane loka kare upahas, iha loka par loka dui hai nash. Maryada rakhile tushta kaile mora man, tumi aiche na karile kare kona jan. So the Lord says that if we just transgress ordinary etiquette, if we transgress ordinary duties that we are supposed to perform, then what happens? It creates bad impression. People in general, and people make a fun of, you know, people make mockery or a fun of devotees. Therefore, the Lord is giving important teaching that a devotee should, as far as possible, for most part, try to follow the ordinary etiquette, the ordinary behavior, the ordinary duties which are enjoined. But his purpose should be extraordinary. So Lord says, you have kept this social etiquette. I am so satisfied. If you don't do, who will set such an example? Therefore, the devotees should have a duty also to set a good example for others. For this reason also, devotees should follow proper etiquette, proper duties, right? Some moral rules and regulations, etc., right? Which are considered ordinary. Compared to devotional service, all that is ordinary. But following that, with the extraordinary purpose, brings great pleasure to the Lord. So, in this way, the Lord herein glorifies Sanatana Goswami. And through him shows that a devotee should be careful and also cautious to observe the prescribed duties, the ordinary rules and regulations, and so on. So we can see that in the life of Lord Krishna also. It's described that how Lord Krishna, when in Dwarka, he behaved just like a henpecked husband. That's very ordinary thing in this world. And he also just behaved like that. He was like completely captivated, controlled by his wives. Or he was dancing to their tunes. But that is external. So therefore, Sudha Goswami beautifully described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddham bhav pishuna malaval guhasa, Vridavalokanihato madano piyasam, sammuhya chapamajahat pramadottamasta, yasindriyam vimathitum kuhukair nasheku. Although the queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and also they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration, and although even the tolerant Lord Shiva could fall victim to them, still, despite all their magical feats and attraction, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. So, although the Lord externally behaved like a henpecked husband, one who is controlled, but actually it's mentioned that the Lord's senses were fully under his control. So, none of his wives, although very beautiful, with all their loving gestures, attractive smiles and so on, they could not agitate the mind of the Lord. So in this way, again, he would act in an ordinary way, But he was not ordinary, right? The Lord was fully in control of his senses. Again, it is described that during the Rajasuya sacrifice, out of love for Yudhishthira Maharaj, different devotees, they took up different services. Bhima became then charge of the kitchen. Bhima Mahashanadhyaksho, right? This is a big kitchen set up to serve prasadam to all the devotees, and Bhima was in charge. Dhanadhyaksha Suyodhanaha, the Duryodhan was in charge of treasury accounts. Sahadevastu Pujayam, Sahadev was in charge of worshipping all the guests. Nakulo Dravya Sadhane, Nakul was in charge of purchase, Dravya Sadhane, and whatever needs to be purchased, Nakul will do that. Guru Shushrushane Jishnu, Arjuna was in charge of worshipping all the elderly people, and Varishtha Vaishnav Seva, that was Arjuna. Krishna Padavane Jane, what is the department of Krishna? To wash the feet of all the guests. Just see, the most ordinary, right, which the last department to be taken by anyone, right, all the other departments have been taken up. Said Vishwanathacharya Thakur says, no one else could do this because it requires extreme humility, and Krishna took up that. Right, so Krishna took up the service of washing the feet of all the guests. Right, so the Lord, he has taken the most ordinary service. Right? He is the most extraordinary person. Right? There is no one superior to Krishna. Ekela Ishvara Krishna, Arasabha Bhritya. Everyone is a servant. But he takes up the service of washing everyone's feet. So in this way, a devotee should take a lesson from the Lord's own example of how, although living in this world, a devotee may just live like an ordinary person, right? Take up the service of ordinary, any ordinary service or anything else, right? Ordinary worldly dealings one may have to do. But his purpose should be extraordinary. We see this so much in the life of Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada is leaving, he left Diamond Harbour from Calcutta on August 13, 1965. It was a busy day on the harbour, with a most ordinary departure. There were no newspaper, someone is going on a, like now we glorify, oh, Prabhupada's, voyage was very kind of extraordinary or whatever, right? Very historic, now we glorify. But just go back in time, August 13, 1965, an old person is leaving from a Diamond Harbour. What kind of departure? Cargo ship, first of all, right? It's not a cruiser liner, for the first sail of some big cruiser, that there is some coverage or something. Just an ordinary cargo ship. He's going to leave on an ordinary cargo ship. There are no, he doesn't have any money with him. There are no admirers. There is no support either from family or from his god brother. Right? There is no support. So just a very, very ordinary departure. But what is Prabhupada's purpose? He himself describes in the first canto, he is taking Srimad Bhagavatam along with him. And he describes his purpose to bring revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Just imagine. Right? Here is a just elderly man at the age of 70 departing on a cargo ship to bring revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. What kind of extraordinary purpose, motive, right, Prabhupada had. And in the year 66. Right? Just within 1 year, Prabhupada, he establishes ISKCON as a society. And Prabhupada talks to the devotees. He said, we want to, you know, establish a society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Call a lawyer. Swamiji wants to get some tax benefit probably. John, you sign. Paul, you sign. Steve, you sign. They said, fine, Swamiji says we'll sign. They had no clue there is going to be such a historic event. Imagine, you know, just in a small room, ISKCON society is being formed. None of the signatories, the trustees, right, had any idea what kind of society is this. They only know Swamiji says sign, sign. Right, that's it. But what kind of, you know, again, vision Prabhupada had, what kind of impact it would have on the whole world. But it's a very ordinary event, seemingly. The lawyer came, had some few papers, and all the people who were coming, and minimum these many people needs to sign, and Prabhupada just said, okay, fine. You sign. And they just, you know, signs. And this is how International Society for Krishna Consciousness was registered, right, in New York. Seemingly very ordinary event. None could comprehend its importance at that point of time. But then we celebrated its 50th anniversary in Calcutta. A big stadium and, you know, such big dignitaries coming and celebrating what happened 50 years back. So again, very extraordinary purpose, extraordinary vision Prabhupada always carried. Prabhupada arrives at one airport, and often now this is when ISKCON was well established, and often the newspaper reporters would come to interview him, and some of the devotees would arrange a very grand reception, So 150 devotees, they are doing kirtan, and they go into the airport lounge to receive Prabhupada. India, they don't allow people inside the lounge, but many places you can go inside the lounge and receive in many airports, especially in the western country. You just go right inside the lounge. So the devotees are right inside the lounge to receive Prabhupada, and 150 devotees are performing kirtan. And the temple president, he sees that it is blocking a lot of traffic. There is a lot of traffic of office goers, you know, tending. It was the morning time. Many people had to go to their business. So it was a busy day. And of course, Prabhupada arrives. He's sitting amidst the devotees. And there is a nice kirtan going on. And suddenly, a temple president, he stands on a chair and he makes an announcement. He says, all the devotees should move aside on this so that give way to all the other passengers who are passing by. It's blocking the way, it's causing inconvenience. Everyone looks at this temple president, you know, that you are just blocking our exchange of love with Prabhupada. You are interfering in this. So everyone with a stare kind of looks towards the temple president. And it said Prabhupada was the first person to obey the command. No, Prabhupada, not you. Prabhupada said, am I not a devotee? And so he had announced that all the devotees should come this side, right, and leave the way for the other passengers. Prabhupada was the first person to respond to the call. Again, although such an acharya, but considering himself to be just one of the devotees, that was again Prabhupada's mood. Although Prabhupada received tremendous success, but there was never any trace of pride, arrogance. He simply remained like a humble devotee. Again, such an extraordinary person, but considered himself to be just an ordinary devotee, one amongst the devotees. So of course, at the airports, often, you know, when they would see so many people have come to receive, and especially the devotees would be big limousine and a fancy car to receive Prabhupada, and they would newspaper reporters would often become envious. And one question they would often ask is, Swamiji, what do you think of this reception? This grand reception. Of course, Prabhupada had always a different answer. Right? he would just see the mentality behind the question. As I say, he would not just see the content, he would see the intent of the question and address that. So Prabhupada was expert at that. So one particular time, when asked, Swamiji, what do you think of this reception? Swamiji says, I am not concerned about how I am being received. I have come to this country to see how Krishna consciousness movement is being received. And all the world will say, Jaya Prabhupada. Right? So, and that, now no more question they have on this topic. So I have come to see how Krishna consciousness movement is being received. So Prabhupada was concerned about that. So the day devotees, the way the devotees were receiving him, that would be an indication of how the Krishna consciousness movement is being received in this country. Right? So again, you see Prabhupada's concern, how Krishna is being received. Right? Movement is not different from Krishna himself. So Prabhupada always had that, you know, again, extraordinary vision, extraordinary purpose. Right? And he would uplift people with that extraordinary vision and purpose. So, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we just in the beginning of the class, he says, Sudurlabha Bhagavata hi loke. A devotee of the Lord is especially herein referring to the pure devotees. Even actually practicing devotees are very rare. There is no doubt about it. Those who aspire for pure devotional service are also very rare. But a pure devotee of the Lord, he is very, very rare. It is a very extraordinary phenomena or extraordinary thing that we can hear, we can associate, we can take association of some pure devotee of the Lord. So, although in this world, the pure devotees of the Lord, they just move around like ordinary people. Right? They conduct their activities, bodily activities and so many other things, just like in many, many ways like ordinary people of this world. But we should not mistake the devotees to be ordinary. We should not commit that mistake. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in teaching to Sanatan Goswami, he says there are anant or there are unlimited living entities. Aite brahmanda bhari ananta jivagan chorasi lakha yoni ite kare brahman. There are unlimited living entities wandering in 84 lakh species. Amongst them, there are moving and non-moving, two categorization. Sthavar and Jangam. Those who move, they move either in the air or in water or on earth. Amongst that, the human form of life is extremely rare. Among the countless souls, hardly one, right, gets a human. Among the many millions and billions souls, one may get a human form of life. Now, among all the humans, most of the humans are uncivilized. So Lord further says, it's like a, you know, you can envision a pyramid. Huge, that base, countless living entities. Human form is very rare. Amongst humans, most are uncivilized, the Lord says. The civilized human beings are those who follow, who have faith in the Vedas, Vedic literature. They are civilized. So amongst humans, most are uncivilized. Civilized are very few. Those who are civilized, right, followers of the Vedas, most of them only are Vedmukh. That means they follow the Veda only in the name. They say we are religious, but they actually commit all kind of sinful activities. Those who are actually the true followers of the religion or the Vedas are further rare. Amongst them, the true followers of the Vedas, who are truly civilized, most are karmanist. They want to perform productive activities and gain, right, a better destination, better standard of life, or so on. Those who come to the understanding that the material life is not all in all, right? That's not the goal. Those who come to the platform of knowledge, they are very further here. Amongst those who are on the platform of knowledge, those who actually are liberated are further here. Right? Those are muktas. And among millions of muktas, mukta nam abhi siddha nam narayana parayana sudurlaba prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune, among millions of muktas and siddhas, a pure devotee of the Lord is extremely rare. So commenting on this verse, Madhvacharya says, navkotyastu devanam rishaya saptakotaya narayana ayana sarve eke chittatparayana. So Madhvacharya has given a commentary. He says, there are 90 million devatas who are narayan ayana. Means they have taken shelter of Lord Narayan. 90 million demigods. There are 70 million sages. They are Narayan Ayan. Taken shelter of Lord Narayan. But among the 90 million devatas, now we are talking of, you know, the higher beings who are the devotees. Narayan Ayanas. Among the 90 million devatas and the 70 million great sages who are all devotees, hardly there could be one Narayana Parayana, pure devotee of the Lord. That is how rare a pure devotee is. And now just imagine that such a pure devotee as Prabhupada coming to this world, preaching Krishna consciousness, sitting on the steps outside the office of Sumati Murarji from morning till evening. Just imagine now, first of all, how rare a pure devotee is among 90 million devatas. Right? There are many more devatas. These are the chosen ones, those who are devoted to Lord Narayan. Among 70 million great sages devoted to Lord Narayan, a pure devotee is very rare. Imagine, that means how much extraordinary is the position of pure devotee. And such a devotee is sitting from morning till evening outside the office of Sumati Murarji, waiting for a free ticket on a cargo ship. Right? Just imagine. Not eating, didn't take anything, just chanting since morning till evening, just chanting. And when Sumati Murarji takes a notice of how the Swami, elderly person, is sitting at the age of 70 since morning, her secretary informs, he's sitting since morning to meet you. Is it? Call him immediately. Yes, Swamiji, what do you want? I want a free passage to US. But you will die, Swamiji, over there. And Swamiji waves off his hand. You know, he overrules all the objections. No, I want to go and preach the message of Krishna. Right? And what is the very first, when she calls him, Prabhupada greets her with a big smile. Just imagine. Since morning he's sitting, you know, a person who is waiting since morning till evening, he'll be thoroughly frustrated, first of all. And have not eaten anything. But the very first response of Prabhupada to Sumati Murarji is, he greets her with a big smile on his face. And asks for this free passage. And there is a discussion, and finally she agrees after the discussion. But Swamiji, you will have to get the P form from the government. You know, P form. Another kind of government requirement at that point of time, you have to go abroad to get a P form. Now in India, it said that once a former USSR diplomat was within India, and his Indian counterpart took him to various places in India. And then after his visit, he was asked, so how was your India visit? He said, I am convinced that God exists after visiting India. He said, oh, which place you got this conviction? Jagannath Puri, Tirupati, Varanasi, or Mathura Vrindavan. He said, I went to the government offices and saw that no one is working, but still the country is running. God must be running this country, that's it. So that was his conviction. So Prabhupada had to go to all the government offices to get his P form done. And Sumati Morarji allowed him to stay in her colony, somewhere near Andheri. Now Swamiji would walk 5 or 6 kilometers to go to all these government offices. He didn't had money for the bus fare. There is no money for bus fare. So he had to walk 5-6 kilometers to the government offices to get his P form done. And he would come in the evening back to the Sindhya colony. And the people would ask, Swamiji, any success? He said, no. But Krishna will do something tomorrow. So he was a little bit, from the days fatigued, little bit disappointed. But within, he would come, take bath, honor some prasad which Sumati Maharaji had arranged. Immediately would start translating in his book. And he looked very fresh. So the people of the colony, they said, Swamiji may be disappointed, but he's never defeated. He's never defeated in his life. So, you see that how here is a person going from government offices, one office to another, walking, has no fear for even bus. To even travel by bus, has no bus fare also with him. But very ordinary person coming to government offices, but with a mission of bringing revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. So that was Prabhupada, although looked seemingly just an ordinary person, but having such an extraordinary purpose, the mission given by his spiritual master. And this way, showing by his own example how, if we study Prabhupada's life, we see that how Prabhupada lived just like ordinary, right? Or behaved or went to the government offices and sitting outside this thing. Even when he achieved great success, he conducted himself just like any other ordinary person. But we understand that he always had this extraordinary motive, extraordinary purpose that made him a pure devotee of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. We have 5 minutes. Any comments or questions? Yes, Shidama Saka Prabhu, you should comment. Or you can correct me.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you mentioned that for devotees, externally their activities may be like everybody else, but internally they have great, very grand purpose. Even in case of, this is true for pure devotees. For ordinary sadhakas who are trying to become devotees, for us, how do we remain focused on purpose? Because our purpose is, often the goals that have been set for us by our masters in whatever work we are doing. So our purpose is not really that extraordinary. It is very mundane. Yes, we are also trying to be devotees in the course of doing that, but our purpose is not grand. So how do we reconcile this?
Hare Krishna. Of course, as sadhaka, sadhakas means we are practicing devotees. So therefore we have to practice the example shown by the pure devotees. We remind ourselves of the purpose given by Prabhupada to us. We are all coming together to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, to chant the holy name of the Lord, and remind each other, inspire each other to keep our focus on that great purpose. Right? So for sadhakas means we practice the example shown by the perfected souls. And it's always inspiring to read about the lives of such great souls as Prabhupada. I mean, I always like to read Lilamrit whenever I get the opportunity. Right? And it's always, I find this Lilamrit to be very inspiring. Again, bringing the focus back to what is the purpose of the human form of life. Okay? So, that is my small understanding. You can add to that. Any other comment, question? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, the announcement. Varishth Vaishnav meeting will take place in Vrindavan Forest after Srimad Bhagavatam class. Also, there are announcements from base. Mind Your Mind Seminar Part 2 by Vraj Bihari Prabhu on 29th and 38th of June 2019. Also, seminar by Gaurang Prabhu on 6th July 2019. The topic of the seminar is Sixtashtakam Prayers, Texts 5 to 8. This seminar will take place from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. For